you join with me if you would like. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes.
You are here, believe. We do welcome everyone this morning, whether you are here or if you are watching from somewhere else this morning. May the presence of God be with each of us as we worship together this morning. We welcome Pastor Dan Winkowicz this morning. We do thank him for presenting God's message to us and leading us during communion today. He has told us that he has a cold, so during the actual serving of communion, he will sit and not take the chance of serving close to us, but we are very happy that he is here to lead us this morning. I do have a couple of words about communion. We certainly do welcome visitors, and we want you to know that anyone who accepts Christ as their Savior is welcome to share communion here at Harbor of Joy. When it's time for communion, the ushers will direct us forward, and there are two stations for receiving communion, one here on this side of the room, on the floor, or come to the rail, stand or kneel there as long as you like when you are served communion. We also want to encourage children to come forward, even if they are not of the age or understanding quite yet to receive communion. We want them to come forward with you during communion. And another item I might mention is for those people who are not here with us. If you are at home or watching from somewhere else, you know, it would be really great to take a few minutes to find a little bit of bread, a juice or wine that represents the blood of Christ to you, and serve yourself during communion time. It's really important that the people who are not here with us also share in communion. If you would like grape juice instead of wine, just indicate that to the server by placing your palm down, and they will give you grape juice. And one more thing, if you are unable to come forward for communion, please indicate that to the ushers, and they will see that we know and bring communion to you at your seat. There are several prayer requests and announcements inside the bulletin. Please note those details. I would add our remembrance of David Mann, who continues to deal with heart issues, Dean Ramsey, who continues to be hospitalized, Nancy Taylor's friend Gary, who is also hospitalized, now with blood clots in both lungs, and DeVos' friend Bev, we learned yesterday, is again in critical condition. And the last thing I want to say is that I want to say a special thank you to those people who are planning the celebration for us next week, and to Ross and Terry Dirks for hosting us at their home. We are looking forward to that. Pat Garrels and Cheryl Meyer have some information for us. It looks like more than just information.
Yes, it is a celebration. I have to bring my props here. I've got one thing. That would be my notes.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I got my feather.
I feel underdressed. Somebody on camera.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know, and we are very thankful for celebrating this Labor Day weekend, and for all of the men and women who have worked to make our country so wonderful. And on a very personal level, I also want you to know from the activity committee that we are working very hard also, and you are starting to see some of the evidence of that. I have a couple items first. The ladies' luncheon was a big success in August, and on September 22nd, which is a Wednesday, at 11:30, we will meet at the Waterfront Grill. We picked that place. Hopefully, we will have a nice day, and we can sit out on the patio. And there is a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator in the back. So if you are interested, please sign up. If we have more than 15 people, we have to email ahead, just so they know. Secondly, Steve Moore has suggested a day bus trip to the Grotto. To the Grotto, which is in West Bend, Iowa. And today, we'd just like a show of hands if that is of interest to someone or anyone. Ooh, excuse me. The fun is getting way ahead of me. Anyway, so if you're interested, please let someone on the activity committee know. We don't have any details. If we can get enough people, you know, to put a bus together, we would also invite people in the community. And it would be a day down there to West Bend, lunch, and just a day out. So now we get to this. I want to thank Carol Banta for working to get Thrivent grants for us to do projects. And Chuck and Donna, this has been the one who filled out the application and it was accepted. And so we have a Thrivent grant to for the project that we're going to talk about. We, as a committee, decided that we wanted to do gift bags, which look like this. To all of the teachers from kindergarten through high school in the Milford school system. And so that amounted to 172 bags. So we have had great response as far as helping. We've had a couple of times when we got together, we did some prepping. One of the fun projects we did, we took a very generic Hershey bar and turn it into something that I think will be really fun and hope bring a smile to the face of the people who receive them. Then Karen Weber, she also donated feather shaped bookmarks. And so we put our name and address and phone number on the back of that. That will go in the box. And then an apple and also a prayer. To get ready for some of that, we have made tags with cut ribbon. We have cut over 550 yards of ribbon that will tie the bags. And so this will get repurposed in a couple days. So on September 8th, we want to assemble the bags, put the tissue paper in, put all the things that we've gathered to put in. Anyone who has time and would like to come and help us, we'd love to have you. It's a pretty easy gig we do. First thing is coffee, cake, a chat, and then we make a plan. And everybody has a job, and if you don't like that job, you can trade with somebody else. So that will be September 8th. We will getting those bags ready. And on the 10th, then, that's what the boxes are for. We're going to get all of those bags put in boxes. We're going to separate them by the teachers and by the aides and the clerical. We will deliver 89 bags to the elementary school, 42 bags to the middle school, and 41 bags to the high school. Pat Gerrels has written a prayer for the teachers and also one for the teachers' aides and the clerical help. And so she is going to read that now so you can see what our labor of love has been. And our prayer for our church is that just as Christ shines his light on Harbor of Joy, we will shine our light through us. And we pray that he will shine his light through us as we reach out into our community. Thank you.
So we have two prayers here. One to go to the teachers and the aides, and the other one to go to the school staff. So our prayer for the teacher and aides. Father God, we lift up in prayer each teacher and aide in the Milford schools, asking you to bless them with courage, patience, and love for their students. Thank you for the skills and talents you have given them, and guide them as they inspire, encourage, and prepare the children for the future. May their students be filled with an eagerness to learn, compassionate hearts, ears to listen, and eyes to see the needs of others. Bless the teachers, aides, and students with a safe and healthy new school year. Even though these are difficult times, we will not fear, for God is with us. Father God, please fill each classroom with joy, love, and peace. May we see each child the way Jesus sees them. Because Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The prayer for the school office staff. Father God, we bring before you our Milford schools and pray they will be filled with children who love to learn and learn to love. We lift up to you those who perform the office duties in each school. May they do their work with patience and kindness that reflects your love and mercy. With you, God, no kind words or action goes unnoticed. Thank you for guiding them as they work with students, teachers, parents, and the administration, striving to keep everything running smoothly. Reward them with wisdom, joy, a sense of humor, the grace to listen, and the heart to share your love. Lord, as we start a new school year, we pray you will send your mighty angels to surround and protect our schools, keeping our children and school personnel safe, happy, and healthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you for all you do for our children.
And we will continue with a prayer of the congregation. Father God, we want to come to you this morning with our heads bowed and our hearts open. We need so much to feel your comfort and your peace at this time when there are so many disasters, so many things that seem to be going so horribly wrong. Whether major things like fires, floods, hurricanes, political unrest, and a continued pandemic, or events of personal illnesses and hurts. We bring to you the prayer requests listed in our bulletin, and we add all the others we think of silently now. We ask also that you bring Pastor Wolf and Sharon safely back to us. We know you want us to remember that whatever our distress, we have so much to be grateful for, like the beautiful rains we've received, as well as our opportunity today to share Holy Communion. So we continue our worship in celebration and with thankfulness, Father, to you. Amen.
Would you please stand? Thank you. seated.
We continue our worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess our sins and we are not interested and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
Thank you.
morning.
Good morning.
I will talk to you while the musicians get seated, and then they'll put the next thing we're going to do is read scripture together. And I'll talk to you in the meantime while everybody gets settled. So this week I had the lovely joy of getting a nice summer cold for my daughter. I'm thankful to her for that. And I was wondering for a while how it was going to end up, but we ended up just fine. A little bit hanging on this morning, but it's good to be here. Now, if you look around this morning, you'll see people that you know. And I would guess there are a few people you don't know. So afterwards, you grab them on the way out and introduce yourself. There's some people here who've come for the dubious reason that I am preaching this morning. And I said, you might want to wait until it's afterwards to decide if it's worth it or not. Those of you who know me, it's a joy to be back here again. And there's some family reunions going on, so you can ask the Griffiths about that. They can tell you all about it. But it's a joy to be here. So today we're going to read Psalm 23, and I would like you to read it with me. Let's see if you're going to put it on the screen. Now, we're going to read it in the Old King James the way I memorized it, and hopefully you did too. Many of you know this psalm. It's a psalm that's so familiar, what often happens is when we read it, we just read through it, and we don't think about it. But today we're going to focus on it, so let's start by reading it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word, and today would you help me to speak well, speak clearly, be honest, and communicate the truth of your words. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to focus on just the first two verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You can read it in your modern text. It says the same thing. It just leaves some letters out. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you satisfied on a scale of 1 to 10? How satisfied are you with our country? Or should I start with the roads? Or the weather? Or your husband? Don't answer that. Being satisfied is a tough deal, because most of us, when we were kids, we dreamed about how life was going to be. We were going to grow up, we were going to get married, we were going to have children. That was going to be delightful. They would be well-behaved, well-dressed children, and when they grew up, they would follow our teachings. They would just be a joy. The other day I was talking to my older brother, and we were commiserating about adult children. And I said, oh, Darwin, you know, they have kids, they said. It'll be fun, they said. I wonder how many of us are really satisfied with life. I'll bet we're not. Some of us, life is so hard, maybe right now, that all you can do is breathe in and breathe out. Because life is tough. There's a lot of stress in life. And where you're stressed, you're not satisfied. But where you're satisfied, there's not stress. And the only place, and I'll just lay it out there to start, the only place we're going to find true satisfaction is in that tight, close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There was a very, very wealthy man who was visiting with a naturalist who owned, he owned nothing, by the name of John Muir. And John Muir said to the really rich guy, he said, by the way, he said, I'm richer than you are. Well, this guy had millions of dollars and Muir had nothing. And he said, well, how do you figure? And he said, well, I've got all I want and you don't. We want, but we want the wrong things. Or we want too much of the wrong things. And then what happens is, of course, in life, and you see it around you, people start down a path to say, well, I'm dissatisfied, so I'm going to pick a vice. Well, say, I'll pick alcohol. Well, it made me happy for an hour, so maybe if I drink constantly, and it cannot stop, and it just goes on and on. In another simpler way, it's like little Billy who loved pancakes. And he liked pancakes so much, his mother often saw him making a glutton of himself, and she said, I'm going to fix him. So she said, one morning, she says, Billy, I'm going to make you all the pancakes you want to eat. Oh, man, he was thrilled. So she started making pancakes on the griddle, and he ate one, and he ate two, and he ate three, and he ate four. And she got ready for the fifth one, and she noticed he was slowing down. And she said, Billy, would you like another pancake? And he said, no, ma'am, I don't want the ones I already had. That's what happens when we come to the end of ourselves. Now, what with that vice that we hammered on so far, because it's wanting the wrong things. So let's look at these first two verses and see if they can tell us something about finding true satisfaction on the path of life. Now, verse 1, of course, is nothing more than the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But just that first phrase, which word would you focus on? We could focus on the word the. When this was written, the Egyptians had 360 gods that they had to keep happy. When David wrote this psalm and the Holy Spirit taught him to read one word, the God. There is only one God. Do not ever believe the lie that all roads lead to heaven. They do not. There is one road that leads to heaven. You might want to focus on the word Lord. The word Lord here is the word for Jehovah. We could probably spend a whole day talking about that. We can talk about the word is. One famous preacher said, when you talk about the Lord, you have to say the Lord is, he always was, is, and he always will be, is. He never changes. He's outside of time. Or we could focus on the word my. My shepherd. It's a personal relationship. Or just focus on the word shepherd. You could probably do five sermons on that, and I'm not going to make you suffer through that this morning. I want to focus first on the shepherd. Who is the shepherd that we're talking about here? The Lord is my shepherd. And then the second half, we're going to talk about sheep. Now, the word Jehovah that is used here for Lord, that's Jehovah, for the Jewish people was pronounced, was a very, very secret holy name. They usually pronounced it once a year. They didn't throw it around. It wasn't common. The scribes, it said, when they were copying the law, when they would come to the word Jehovah, they would often lay down the pen, get a new pen, and write the word Jehovah. And they would go on, and they'd do that again. They didn't write that word after they'd written other words. It's the great I Am, the Holy One, the creator of the universe. I don't imagine the majority of you use terms like the man upstairs, but I want to counsel you, don't do it. It's the creator of the universe. It's the all-powerful one. It's the one, and we often forget this, when they came looking for Jesus in the garden to put him on the cross, they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And in one of the Gospels it said, he said, I am he. And whoo, knocked everybody flat on the ground. They got out and probably asked with a quivering tone, are you he? And he said, yes, I am. It was just a little warning. This is the God that is the shepherd, the ruler of the universe. So we don't have just any old shepherd. But the word shepherd, and now in the Old Testament, we use the word Jehovah. In the New Testament, it's Jesus. Don't forget and don't begin to think that there's a God of the Old Testament who is one way and a God of the New Testament who is another. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Jehovah speaks of his deity, whereas the shepherd speaks of his humanity. Now, three times in the New Testament, Jesus is called shepherd. In John 10:11, he is called the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So remember, Jesus, the shepherd, gave his life for you, if you were the only one. In Hebrews 13:20 and 21, he's called the great shepherd. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. He's the good shepherd, and he's the great shepherd. But as he is the great shepherd, he's the resurrected Lord. He didn't stay in the grave. And in 1 Peter 5:4, he's also called the great shepherd. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So when you read Psalm 23 and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, think about the fact that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd. He's the shepherd who died, he's the shepherd who rose again, and he's the shepherd who's coming again. Now it's interesting here in Psalm 23, these two terms are put together, Lord, sovereign, and shepherd. Now, there's a long and big distance between them. When the Jewish people would have read this, they would have said, you never call a king a shepherd. Shepherds were dirty, stinky, uneducated. They didn't take baths. You could smell them before you could see them. And on the other hand, you have the sovereign, the king of the universe. Those two don't fit together. But here, David draws these two together. Delight yourself. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, as we bring these words together, here are seven examples where Jehovah is conjoined with another word in the Old Testament. Now, this is a little technical, and you're just about ready to nod off, but hold on, because it's going to get better. Here's the first one. Someone will see how many you recognize. Jehovah Ra'ah. That's the Lord my shepherd, Psalm 23:1. Here's one you might have heard before, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. In Exodus, it says Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, one that makes us holy. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. He's here today, he's here tomorrow. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He represents us to the world. There are seven. Now hold on, because in Psalm 23, the one you've memorized and you've said 100 times, all seven of those are slammed right into those 6 verses. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He restoreth my soul, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Jehovah Shalom, peace. He leads, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake, our representative. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And Jehovah Shammah, I will fear no evil. Not today. Not tomorrow, no matter what the government decides, I will fear no evil. No matter what happens in your home this afternoon, I will fear no evil. No matter who dies, no matter, period, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Jehovah Shammah, this shepherd, your shepherd is always present at all times, in all places, and always with you. No fear. The Lord, he's a good shepherd. He laid his life down for the sheep. He's a great shepherd. He rose from the grave to lead you. He's the chief shepherd. He is coming again. That is my shepherd. Is he yours? I hope he is. And now we're going to turn from the shepherd to the sheep. Psalm 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, who's that? That's the sheep. Now, it's interesting, in the Bible, God calls us sheep. In case you didn't know, that is not a compliment. Is there anybody here who raises sheep? Anybody raise sheep? I always wanted to have sheep when I grew up on the farm, and I said, Dad, I'd love to have some sheep. Will we please have some sheep? He said, absolutely not, even if I had to die five times. No, they are the dumbest animals on the earth. And I found out that shortly after he had married, he had decided to get sheep, and my grandfather had lapped himself silly. You got sheep. Good. See you later. Terrible. They're dumb. They're defenseless. They're directionally challenged. They quickly get lost. They're dependent. And you know what else? They're also decadent. They attack other sheep. Can you believe that? Now, your sheep. Well, I see old sheep Patty back there. So now I know her real well. I know I can say it. I see sheep Jeff there. He likes when I talk about him in the public. There's all kinds of sheep here this morning. Some of you are good sheep. Some of you are better sheep. Some of you are good sheep on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But you know, we're all sheep. That means we have problems. Have any of you ever been beat up by other sheep? I'll bet you have. I bet you've been insulted or looked over or somehow slapped one way or another in the church at some time. That's the way sheep are. But we have a shepherd that's working on us all the time. And as I studied about sheep, you know that sheep will not produce wool, fat, or milk unless they are content. They need to feel secure. Secure. So let's talk about this. So sheep are secure. Only in the shepherd, not anywhere else. Now the wolf says to the sheep, come on over here, we're going to have a party. Don't worry, we've declared a truce. The sheep doesn't know, he's the main course. But off they go. And I probably said this before here, but I'll say it again. You've seen the commercials, the guy's out on the lake, they're fishing. And they caught the big fish, and he opens that cooler and sticks in there, and he pulls out a can of beer, and he pops that open, and he says, it doesn't get any better than this. Have you seen that commercial? It's a few old, but people use that phrase all the time. Well, here's the thing. If you don't know Christ, that is all the better it ever gets. It just gets worse from there. Because the devil always gives the best first and saves the worst for last. You notice that? You know any happy, old, rotten sinners? No, I don't. But Jesus always, we go through the worst and the tough times here, but he saves the best for last. Now, we're secure in the shepherd because that shepherd for the sheep has compassion. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We're secure in the shepherd because he cares for the sheep. It says in Isaiah 40:11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. We're secure in the shepherd because the shepherd has courage to defend the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the kind of shepherd you have. He doesn't take off when the going gets tough. The sheep are also secure because they're in a right relationship with the shepherd. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is your shepherd. He's also the door. You know, they would build these corrals out in the wilderness, and the door was the shepherd. The shepherd would lay right down in the door, so if the wolf came, he had to go through the shepherd. That's your shepherd. Everything we need, we have in the shepherd. Psalm 23:2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Remember the old song, real joy is mine, no matter when teardrops start. I found the secret. What is it? It's Jesus in my heart. Come on, you guys can sing better than that. Are you secure? Now, I learned an interesting thing about sheep. And that is that sheep only chew their cud when they're secure, they feel safe, serene, and they're lying down totally relaxed. You know about chewing their cud, you know, they eat good stuff early in the day, put it down there, pop it back up, and away they go. Now, I've seen some people that chew chewing gum like they're chewing cud. But do you chew cud? You ought to. Let me talk to you about chewing your cud. And we're getting close to the end. First, you eat something good. It's called God's Word. The last time I was here and preached, I preached about the fact that you could trust the Bible. I told you that something is not your Bible. Do you remember what that was? What is not your Bible?
Your cell phone.
Oh, very good. Your cell phone is not your Bible. You get a Bible and you carry it around. You're not too weak. If you're strong enough to eat, you're strong enough to carry a Bible to church. Won't hurt you. Did I offend anybody? I hope not, but if I did, you can fire me because I don't work for you. First, we eat God's Word, and we hide it in our hearts. Now, this week, for reasons I'm not going to share with you right now, it's been a very difficult week for me. And I've woken up in the middle of the night, and I've just started. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Do you have any of it hidden in your heart? You've got to. But if you're only reading junk, that's all you're going to remember. Garbage in, garbage out. Here's some good stuff for your cud. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 104:34, may my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. Now it is interesting here in 23:2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I kind of take it to mean this. If you don't decide to take time out of your crazy schedule, turn off your cell phones and shut off the news, he may make you lie down. So you don't have a choice. Psalm 23:2 we've already read, but how about Psalm 119:67? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And Psalm 119:71 is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. No, wait. Lie down. Lie down. I read this week, said the more I suffer, the more I seek Jesus, the more I seek Jesus, the happier I am. It's a process. Don't wait to lie down. So, in conclusion, I will say this. The cure for stress is Jesus. Psalm 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You got a lot of stress in your life? Just focus on Jesus and focus more and focus more and focus more and focus more until you forget everything else. The secret of satisfaction is found in verse 1, the Lord my shepherd, that is Jesus himself. Because when we're satisfied with Jesus, we will not be stressed by the world. And in the midst of the storm, we can calmly sit and chew our cud. Come hell or high water. We're not backing down. We're not sitting down. We're not shutting up. We're going to stand right here, and we're going to defend the Word of God. I want to encourage you, before the end of the day, to open up your Bible to that first little sheet and write a time in there of when you are going to meditate every day on God's Word. Whether it's 1 minute or 5 minutes, take one verse, just think about it, think deeply about it, and tell you all of the stuff in the world goes away. I wouldn't be bad to start with. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because if we do that, we'll be able to follow Jesus all the days of our lives that we walk through those early gates. God bless you.
Fanny Crosby and Robert Lowry write a song.
Now, as we enter our time of communion, we're going to repeat the Apostles' Creed together. So if you would say it with me. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before raising, so as we come to this time together, I want to encourage you to remember that this is a celebration of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a holy time, but it is also a beautiful time. As we think of his body, and we think of the fact that this body was broken, and it was not broken for him, but it was torn apart for us. In the scriptures it says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to his disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Our God and our Father, as we come forward to celebrate and remember our relationship with you, may you move in our hearts, help us to forgive those that we need to forgive, that to seek forgiveness when we need to seek it, and that we would walk in holiness and in union with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All is in readiness, so now if those who are going to serve would please come forward, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper together.
I'm forgiven. You've got your word for sin. I'm excited. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
And our benediction is just a very few words, also written by David, this time in Psalm 27. So as we leave today, I encourage you to remember his words of reassurance. The Lord is the stronghold of my life.